Imagine a dimension slightly different from the one we're in.
For me, it was Tuesday.
History is the same, but it isn't. Welcome to the new 42.
We are belong to 42 number one.
Hey everybody, this is Ken Masters, and you're listening to 42 Level 1.
Yakuza!
The new 42.
My house is Kennedy, Kid on my son.
Bra, bra, bra! Coming down for ya.
Damn it.
My day, Kid on my son, 73.
I'm not a really normal person. I'm a piano.
Follow me.
Okay.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to yet another 42 Level 1. I am your host, one of your hosts anyway, Alistair Kennedy. This is episode... forgotten.
325.
And the voice you hear with me, the Twilight Princess of all games himself.
Mr. Andy Rocker here as always.
Yes, and we are back. Apologies for the 3 weeks that we were off the air. That was entirely my fault, because last week, internet issues. Now I'm not promising my internet won't go this week. In fact, I think the last show we did, at the end of the show, I completely got cut off. So it did drop while me and Andy were catching up pre-show. We actually could have started this show about an hour ago, but we haven't spoken over the air for 3 weeks either. We've just texted, and I've had like a busy week. Buying houses and all that sort of stuff. So the good news is about this house is it is in a complete fibre optic area with the fastest speeds available in this country just now. So roll on September, August. That's all I can say.
It's literally the only reason you bought it. Like, does it have fast internet? Yes. I want it. Give me it now.
one of my personal reasons for wanting the house. Probably the top personal reason for wanting the house. Apart from obviously space in the garden, but like, yeah, I'm not even lying when I'm saying that is one of my, because I've been in this flat for like 9 years now. It's like 9 years of that shitty internet, and it's just it annoys me staying here now, knowing that through the wall, Stephen, my friend, has got fibre optic, like just the flat across the way. It's unreal. So yeah, apologies if my net drops. I am going to try and resume the call on my phone if that does happen. But anyway, we are back, all games. We never really went anywhere. Internet issues was last week. The week before, I fell asleep. I did apologise on Twitter to keep people updated. And the week before that, it was again internet issues. Some weeks it won't even allow me to connect to a fucking Discord call, which is unreal. So yes, anyway, yeah, we will start the show with Big Screen. Big Screen is the part of the show. We will talk about all the movies and all the TV that we have spoken about. So Andy, since everything's been my fault, why don't you go first?
Yeah, so I don't think I watched any movies. Did you go and see Spider-Man yet?
I got it spoiled for me, including the after credit scene, which was really annoying, so I don't see the need to go and see it at the cinema now.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a couple of things. Like, I don't know the full spoilers of it, but yeah, I heard.
Do you know about a certain news reporter coming back?
No.
Oh,
no.
Spoilers. Do you want to know about it?
No. I'm going to go and see it. Like, Bethany's been on holiday this week with Mum and Dad, so I'm going to go and see it when she gets back.
The film itself, to me, seems just fine. Seems okay. It's too obvious, though. See, why are you portraying a villain like Mysterio as if he's actually going to be a good guy? Like, that's just ridiculous. Yeah. That's like showing us the trailer for the next one and he's shaking hands with Doc Ock. It's like, why are you joking? Like, things like that don't work in today's society. Like, but anyway, no, I haven't seen Spider-Man yet, so I don't think I will at the cinema after, like, I mean, the complete thing got ruined for me. Like,
Was it Michael?
No, it wasn't Michael for a change. It was just a guy at work. Who assumed, obviously, because I usually go and see these films at midnight. Actually, I did want to see it at midnight, but I forgot that it was... Fraser actually messaged me, I think it was last Wednesday or something, and I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, I didn't get his tickets. I mean, we went to see Men in Black, like, the night it came out as early as possible, so I don't know how we managed to miss Spider-Man, me and Fraser. But I will see it. I probably will see this on Showbox when a copy comes out, because the Blu-ray version usually comes there before the 4K is available to buy. But
yeah,
I'll buy the 4K disc because I've got all the Spider-Man films on disc.
Nice. But yeah, like what I did watch though was I finished watching Love, Death and Robots.
Yeah, you were saying that, mate. That's cool. Is it good? Was it all good?
Yeah, man, it was all good. Like, I still think the best episodes for me were the LA episodes. Like, which I think is kind of by design, to be honest. Because, obviously, it plays like we discovered a couple of weeks ago, it plays the show in a custom order, by the looks of it, for each person. So, I mean, my favourite one was definitely the Sunny's Edge one. Like, that one was so fucking good. Like, I absolutely loved that. Yeah, the probably the first couple were my favourite. Like, the Sunny's Edge one and the three robots with the cats. Oh, you sent me a video.
It's just Lexi, before the show, was obviously trying to sing, and she wanted to speak to Andy because she was like, "Ayo!" And I was like, "Andy's not here yet."
Nice. But yeah, like I think the show was really good overall, and there was some of them that I would have really liked to have seen more of. Yeah. I liked the one where it was the fridge one that you didn't like, where there was this is
like the fridge,
the freezer. Yeah, I liked that. That was
Topher
cool.
Grace.
Oh, I didn't like him, but like I liked the idea of. I think it would have been better if it was someone else because I fucking hate Topher Grace. But I liked the whole idea of it, like somebody, like some society trapped in a freezer, like that was cool. And like the alternate histories one, I thought was really cool as well. I didn't like the animation for it at all, but I loved the concept of like of that as an app. Like, could you imagine if you had an app where like you just plugged in like some random data point, like they took Hitler's death as being one, and like, oh, what if Hitler died like in a different way? Like, how would that or died earlier? Like, how would that have changed history? And like, I thought that was really interesting to see that. You really didn't like the yogurt one. Yeah, I thought that was
no. But we've discovered our tastes sometimes are 100. Did I? If they're not 100% in sync, our taste, then we completely disagree. That's just
totally opposite. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this show is well worth watching. Like some of the episodes are short and like they only last a few minutes, so they're kind of throwaway. But like I think the ones that they've put a bit more effort into, like I would love to see like an expansion of some of them. Like I liked like see that one in the Beyond the Aquila Rift. Like I really liked the title of that, but like I didn't like the actual episode.
Is that
the
one
much.
With the Marines kind of in the snow?
No, that was the one where it was the guy that was kind of like in the Matrix type thing, but he was actually in like a spider web.
Oh, the one I talked about last week that was different order from yours. Yeah, yeah, I didn't enjoy that one as much. Like, there could have been more to it. If it had more backstory, it could have been better.
Like, I loved the animation in it, though, man. The animation, it was so fucking good. Like, these people should be animating, like, video game cutscenes. Like, they're way better than any video game cutscenes. Like, the lip-syncing and that, and these is insane. Like, it's so fucking good. And I get those short, like, things,
how good
but...
How good was the CGI, realistic-wise, though? Like, that was unreal, and that one, I thought...
Unbelievable, man. Like that... I think it was that one and the first one, the Sunny's Edge one. Like, I was like, whoa, this is good. Apart from when I got to, like, the one that was Topher Grace, and I was like, is this CGI? Because, like, I thought it was all CGI, and then, obviously, that one wasn't. Like, that one was, like, live-action with CGI mixed in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, really good show. Definitely recommend watching it to anybody that's into like robots and that sort of stuff. Anybody that
and
likes this show I mean, there's not that much love and sex in it, to be honest.
In that one, there was pretty graphic CGI, realistic looking sex, like when the spider that was disguising itself as his ex girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, so like, there was definitely like some of them that I really, really liked, and some of them were just kind of okay. I feel it was most of the kind of really short ones were just like, yeah, this is all right. But that one with the alternate histories, like, I really want somebody to make an app that is that, because like that's a cool fucking concept for an app. Like, you just plug in like a different piece of data, and then it comes up with its theory of like how history would have been different. Based on like actual data. I think that's really interesting,
like a what if scenario.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, really good show. Did you like the episode, I don't know if you saw it, the Zima Blue one? Did you see that one?
What was that one? I don't remember the titles.
It was the one with the artist.
I don't think I've seen that one yet.
No, that one was cool. I like that one. But yeah, it definitely finished watching it and see if there was any other ones that kind of stuck out to you.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'll hopefully get it finished for next week. Yeah.
Nice. So I also watched all of Jessica Jones season 2.
Which is awful.
Which you hated, but was it season 2 or season 3?
No, it was season 3. You were watching it.
Season 3, sorry. Yeah, Jessica Jones season 3, because I already watched season 2. But I really liked Jessica Jones. Like, I thought it was fucking brilliant. Like, I didn't like season 1 that much. I felt that it was really down, and like the whole Kilgrave thing, I really didn't like it at all.
He was a genius villain. He played such a good character, and season 2 was basically X-Men 2, the movie. That's what it was. That was the story.
Like season 1 I found really boring. Like season 2 I thought was fucking excellent. Like see when she got to be doing like actual like private eye stuff, like brilliant, loved it.
But it's X-Men 2. X-Men 2 I've already seen. Like, I hadn't seen something like Kilgrave as a villain.
And then, like, season 3 is just kind of more of that, but done better. And they had a big bad in it that was really interesting, because he was just a kind of normalish guy. And I think they played it really well. And still kept the private eye stuff in there. Like, and that was definitely my favourite part of it. He does, but only very briefly, like in the last episode.
Iron Fist with him?
No. On his own.
Oh, I always wish they would have done Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Yeah, well, I think they did that in Luke Cage season 2, but I haven't finished watching that yet. I just started watching that tonight, actually, after seeing Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. I was like, well, I guess I should see why because he shows up wearing a suit. And I'm like, why is he in a suit? And like, she seems to know why he's in a suit, but they don't explain it. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I should watch Luke Cage season 2 to see why he's in a suit. But I mean, like, Luke Cage season 2, I want to watch the first episode and oh my god, it was so boring. Like, see, compared
Luke
to
Cage
like,
season 1 was crap
and
as
it
well,
was
like,
yeah, it was terrible. Yeah, and
the villain at the end,
yeah, he was the worst. And like, comparing like that to like Jessica Jones, I'm like, oh my god, like, this is, it just brought me back down. Like,
Iron Fist was like, boring as well.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched like all of season 2 of Iron Fist, but like, I think from what I did watch, it was definitely better than the start of this fucking Luke Cage anyway. But like, after watching Jessica Jones, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll get back in and watch the remainder of the Marvel Netflix stuff that I've not seen, like Luke Cage and Iron Fist, and I'm like,
these will be the last ones of them. Yeah
these are the last seasons. There's a season of Punisher still to go, but that's it. But Punisher's kind of its own thing anyway, so. But yeah, so I don't think I watched anything else. No, that was it. Just Jessica Jones and Love, Death and Robots. But I watched all of them. Got them finished.
That's awesome. So, I watched a couple of things. I actually watched more, but I'm not going to go through 3 weeks of stuff that I've watched. To be fair, it is like reality TV season, so most nights I spend in a rabbit hole on Wikipedia or adding new YouTube things to watch later on when I go to bed. So the main ones I did watch was, I watched Toy Story 4. So I'm going to try and not be spoilery for it, but this is a depressing film. I feel it could have went straight to DVD. It's got the best animation in the series, but the worst story, right?
Okay.
Whereas every single one of the, all three, sorry, every single one, all three of the last Toy Story movies felt like they had a place. Like, the first one was about toys and what they fear and like getting replaced by newer, cooler toys. And then the second one was all about like collectible toys that are worth money. And then the third one was about what happens when the toy's owner grows up, right? This one didn't have a fresh message. It was just more about what do the toys do when their owners left them, because they've still kind of not accepted Bonnie, you know, even though they're with Andy for so long. And like, Bonnie's going to school and they know they're Bonnie's toys. They don't like not want to be with her. But like, I didn't feel like this film added like a whole new message. It just felt like an extension of like the third movie, if you know what I mean. So Bonnie goes to school in this and she doesn't like school at first, and she makes this fork that everyone's seen in the trailers called Forky, and he comes alive. He's like suicidal because he sees himself as garbage because he's a fork that's been used. So his purpose in life, he thinks, is to be thrown away after being used for soup, soup chilies or whatever else. And he keeps jumping out windows and stuff. So Woody has to save him. And you end up fighting, they kind of retcon a bit because obviously I don't think Bo Peep was in the last one and they didn't explain it. And this kind of explains where she was from after Toy Story 2 or 1. No, 2. At the end of 2, I think it is. Or the start of 3. And it's like, I just didn't enjoy it as much. It's still a really enjoyable film and it looks fucking great, but certain actors you can tell aren't going to be back in the next one, and the story reflects that with the way that their characters in the movie go. And like Mr. Potato Head's actor actually died, so his whole voice in this movie was like cobbled together from clips. It focused a lot on Woody and Bo Peep. And they're definitely not my favourite characters. I prefer Buzz Lightyear, and I prefer like Slinky, Rex. See, for like 70% of the movie, Slinky, Rex, Potato Head, like all the army men, and they're all in the back of the camper van. You don't really see them. Like it kind of flickers back to them and then back, and you see more of Buzz because he's obviously leading those toys while Woody's with Bo Peep and trying to save Forky and stuff. So for me, I get that it's trying to introduce new toys, but I'm sorry, like, there's plenty of other toys than a fucking fork, right? Because you're not Pokemon, you didn't invent this thing, and I get that the kids made this, but I would have much preferred, like, this whole new toy that was just added that her mum bought her to cheer her up, which would have the same story beats as her making, do you know what I mean? Like, if her mum bought her a toy to keep her company at school, and this toy didn't want to be there, you know, and Woody had to teach the toy how to become a toy, but he's teaching a fork to become a toy, and it doesn't make sense because the fork is right, it is garbage, and she is going to throw that out eventually. Like, she's not going to keep that. So it's like, I personally would have made it like, say, like Buzz Lightyear, not a Tamagotchi, but you know what I mean? Something that her mum bought her to keep her happy at school, or to like take care of her when she's at school, like a new teddy or something that doesn't know it's a toy. A bit like Buzz Lightyear, just repeat that kind of thing. But at least you know that that's going to stick around. Whereas this fork all the way through, it was like, you're shit as a toy. I can't imagine any kid going, mum, I need that for Christmas. Like when Buzz Lightyear came out, it's like, no one's going to want this.
Have they made a toy of this?
They have. Fork? They have. And it's more expensive than buying a pack of 100 forks and making your own one. Like, you could make this with 2 googly eyes, a lollipop stick, and a pipe cleaner. That's all this is, even in the film, right? And she draws on, like, the eyebrows and stuff. So they're selling these at, like, 20 quid. It's like, it's a replica of a plastic fork. Like, what are you doing? This isn't a toy for kids anyway. So, yeah. I didn't enjoy it, but it's still a Toy Story film. It's probably like, you could end up loving this knowing your taste to mine, but I've got a feeling you're kind of going to agree with a lot of my points on it, especially because the first three films are all strong films. Like, they didn't need to do a fourth movie. They didn't. They did wrapped up. And it would have made more sense trying to introduce more likeable toys like Buzz Lightyear to this one. Or like the way that the Spacemen toys replaced cowboys back in the day, like, make Bonnie get a video game console or something. I don't know, but like, I prefer to see the adventures of the toys more than the humans, and the humans were a bit more in this one.
All right,
and like, I don't care enough about them. I just want to see what Rex is doing today. I want to see like just the day in the light. They should make a series about this so I can get more out of it. Like, they really should. But like, Jesse was underused, and there was some characters that didn't show up. Like, RC's still not there. It's like, well, what the fuck happened to him? Do you know what I mean? Like, he disappeared as well as Bo Peep, so where's he gone?
He had shit batteries in him and he leaked. And he
I
died.
Don't believe that, because like, my Buzz Lightyear that I recently got from my mum, because my daughter's obviously getting interested in these films now, which has been in a toy box for at least 20 years, Andy. I got this in Canada just before Toy Story 2, or just after Toy Story 2 came out. So at least 20 years, and I've never changed the batteries in this thing. They hadn't even leaked. They hadn't even, like burst. There was no acid coming out of them. And I replaced the batteries with 2 new Energizer ones, and the toy works absolutely fine. The only issue is the wings in the toy box have been crushed at some point, and they don't pop out anymore. Like, the bit of plastic that was kind of, you know, sprung, like the bit that's used to spring, it broke. Mm. But apart from that, it's a fully functioning Buzz Lightyear in really good nick. Like, Tash actually thought I'd bought, like, say, a new one. I'm like, no, no, I didn't buy this. This is my toy from when I was a kid. So I felt a wee bit like Andy giving it to Bonnie. But she absolutely loved it. She can't carry it about as easy as Rex, but she just lit up when she seen it. So, yeah, Toy Story 4, not my favourite, but I would watch it again.
See this fork thing, right? You know what's funny about it? It's not a fork.
It's a spork.
It's a
it should have been Sporky.
Even
still, you understand what I'm saying, that it should have just been a new toy being taught, because you're the fourth film in, you're kind of going for a semi-reboot, you want to sell new toys to kids. Like, Keanu Reeves is in this film as like
Evil Knievel thing.
But he's shit, he's not going to sell to kids these days. What you want is another Buzz Lightyear, basically. Just make a new version of Buzz Lightyear. That's what I'd say. And, like, why don't you have... Or Bonnie could have bought Zurg, do you know what I mean, to scare away the bad kids at school, and then Zurg tries to take over the toy room. That would have been more exciting than what happened in this film, in my opinion. And then, like I said, the only reason I can see for the story beat at the end, like the final note, was because some actors don't want to come back to this franchise. Do you know? Well, it's a franchise that started in 1994, you know, so... I would give it 3 out of 5, maybe 2. 2.5 out of 5, personally. Okay. You're going to love this, I think. But for me, Toy Story 1's probably still the best. I don't know. I do like 2. And 3 was really good. But either 1 or 2 is the best, then 3 and then 4. How would you rate the other 3, just so I can get an idea?
I mean, I'd probably give all of them like 4 out of 5.
Yeah, but what one's your favourite? The first one? I just love it. Sid. Such a badass.
I do really like the first one, and I really like the second one, and the third one was all right.
So yeah, that's the same ratings that I would give it. So yes, you're probably going to think the same of this movie. Like, it's okay, but it could easily have been straight to Disney Channel sort of thing, or Netflix, or Disney Life. It didn't have to be a cinema one, and I don't think it's got the numbers at the cinema, so this could end up being the last one at the cinema, because Disney do that a lot. I mean, well, they don't do a lot. This is one of what films they've got 4 in a franchise for.
Yeah, they've not done many of those at all. Like, well, it's been 20 years, so, and there's been 10 years between some of them.
Most of them, like, most franchises, though, like, even Aladdin's 2 sequels went straight to video, you know what I mean? Like, and that's a whole story. Like, he doesn't even marry Jasmine until the third one. It's crazy.
I really liked Return of Jafar.
The genie brilliant. From the cartoon. It wasn't Robin Williams, but it was the guy that did the Sunday morning cartoon of Aladdin that done the voice of the genie, who was Hank Azaria from The Simpsons.
Yeah, but like that movie was really good. Like, that should have been like a full.
That should be cinema 100%, because it follows on directly. Like, Jafar's a genie in this one. Yeah. It's such a good film. Right. Anyway, the next movie I watched was Shaft, which was it appears to be a slapstick comedy film, and it's not. Like, I thought it was going to be a very tongue-in-cheek, like, kind of what they've done with Baywatch, like the remake of Baywatch. But no, it's not all-out comedy, but it's definitely a lighter feeling than Samuel Jackson's 2000s Shaft. And it's kind of misleading, because yes, it is about Samuel Jackson's son, John Jr., becoming the new Shaft, kind of. But, like, Samuel Jackson's in it as a main character. He's not just, like, a character. End like Richard Roundtree was in Samuel Jackson's one. Samuel Jackson's in this film as his, like, sort of odd couple. Like, Samuel Jackson is Shaft, and he's kind of like, he's like, you're sounding like a white boy, you know, like, because he's been brought up in a good area and stuff, and Shaft's from Harlem and things like that. So Samuel Jackson's brilliant in this film. Like, it made me go, I really wish he'd done more Shaft films, because I did enjoy his one. Richard Roundtree, the original Shaft, said it a lot more as well, and I'm very surprised that it just went straight to Netflix here, because it's such a good quality film.
Well, I mean, I think it speaks to Netflix, though. Like, Netflix is like a viable platform now to put your movie out on.
Yeah, this is true. So I would definitely, if you enjoyed this, I've never seen the Richard Roundtree ones, from what I recall. There was 5 of them, and then Samuel Jackson done one in 2000, which is an Amazon Video or Showbox. You'll be able to get Samuel Jackson one, which was kind of a gritty sort of reboot sequel, where it kind of retold the original Shaft movie story. But Richard Roundtree was the original Shaft, is Samuel Jackson's dad, and the Shaft in this film
Samuel Jackson's his dad, but it shows you like kind of clips of the 2000 film and everything, and retconned obviously. It wasn't a retcon, we just didn't know about him technically. Didn't change anything, it just was like he had the kid and the mum left Shaft when he was young because he didn't like the lifestyle Shaft was leading and getting into trouble all the time. I enjoyed it. It was a by the paint by numbers obvious on the character change from the young Shaft, and Samuel Jackson was Samuel Jackson, and Richard Roundtree got a much bigger part. He was in at least the last quarter of the movie. But like I said, Samuel Jackson, after like the first 20 minutes, is in the entire movie from beginning to end. So it is a legit sequel. It's not like this young kid for the whole film by himself. It's like 20 minutes to set him up maybe, and then the rest of it is him and Samuel Jackson to the end. Like, he's in every scene after that. When he first showed up at Samuel Jackson's door, the reason I'm calling Samuel Jackson is because he's Shaft, but so is his son, and so is the grandpa. So like, when he went to his door, I thought, oh, it's cool. Samuel Jackson cameo in this early on, but then no, Samuel Jackson is going to be in this whole movie as like almost buddy comedy. But it's not overly funny either. But it's definitely not as gritty as that one. I'm going to watch it again. I fucking loved this film. I thought it was really good. I want another one.
Thanks.
But yeah, that's about all I watched apart from my usual RGT85 and YouTube, and I didn't really watch anything else of significance because, like I said, it's reality TV season for the summer for Tasha, so my TV's kind of taken up by her, and we've been quite busy recently. So yeah, that's it. So let's move on to level this is the part of the show where we talk about all the video games we've played throughout the week, but most importantly the video game news. 3 weeks of video game news, but Andy, what have we got?
Yeah, I'll try and
condense it.
Condense this a little bit because there's going to be some shit that's probably not relevant.
Not relevant, yeah.
Where are we? Hold on, I need to get back to the top. There are many.
There are many newses.
Oh, there we go. Harry Potter Wizards Unite came out. Did you play it?
What?
Harry Potter Wizards Unite.
What words are you saying?
Harry Potter.
Oh, Harry Potter. Yeah. What is it, a game?
Yeah, it's the Pokemon Go, Harry Potter.
Yeah, no. I didn't play that, no. I haven't even seen the films or read the books, so why would I?
Yeah, no, I'm not interested in either.
Pokemon Go does it better than anyone else is going to do it, and more fun because of their license than any other. Why try and do this? Don't get me wrong, the Men in Black one could be fun that's coming out. I've said that. I will give that a shot. But no, I'm not interested in Harry Potter.
I mean, that's a franchise that we like, though, so.
True.
New games came to Game Pass, so Rare Replay came to Game Pass.
Okay.
Did you download it?
Nope. I haven't done Xbox One. I haven't played games for probably a week and a half.
I did download it. I haven't played any of it yet, but I've played it before, so.
Yeah, I had it before.
So much, just like weeks
in. Shift.
Gears of War 5 isn't gonna have a season pass, but and its DLC maps are gonna be free, which is good.
Awesome, because we're getting it in Game Pass anyway, so.
Yep, no need to buy that game. No one should buy that game.
Same with like for any Xbox exclusive now, you shouldn't. Game Pass is the way that you should consume all exclusive Xbox games now. That's just if you're going out and buying like Sea of Thieves and Halo and stuff, you're doing it wrong. Get Game Pass. Yeah.
A game in the UK has agreed a £52 million takeover by Sports Direct.
Yeah, so you can now buy trainers and Nintendo eShop cards.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about like putting game kiosks into, what's their home store that they own, Sports Direct? Because the guy that owns them owns another chain. I forget what it is.
Oh, Dr. Mario World's out right now, but install it on my phone as we go, and that will be a good phone game because Dr. Mario World is great. Not as good as Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, but definitely to play in this.
But anyway, the game's been basically it's been taken over by Sports Direct. Yay!
Nice.
The Wii U got a firmware update. No, the Wii U got a firmware update.
Yeah, I downloaded it. Didn't notice the difference. It's probably just a block folk that's hacked it, you know what I mean? They just do it to the decks. Yeah, but obviously they do it to protect their assets, you know.
The favourite Pokemons, they don't care about that. Limited Run Games is doing a series of Star Wars games just now.
Well, they were, and I forgot what date was. I asked you to remind me, and I missed it, and I'm so annoyed, because I had these on the Game Boy. Well, I had Empire Strikes Back specifically. I actually found a Game Boy game, they ran them. I was in the kitchen getting juice for my brother's wife, and I looked inside a mug, and there's, like, you know those old plastic Game Boy game cases, like clear ones? And I was like, oh, what's this? And I'll just show you what it was. And I was like, I don't remember I had this version of this game. I thought I only had it on the Mega Drive.
Nice.
But it's actually, in, like, see when I opened that, the sticker's in pristine condition. It's like a really mint condition cartridge. And I'm like, oh. Mum's like, take it with you, you can play it at home. And I'm like, oh, your I should have took it.
Get this shit out of my house.
No, do you know what? I said, I don't have a Game Boy to play it on. My phone that plays cartridges. I should have took it.
Yeah, you should have took it. Go back. It. She's probably binned it already. Like, he doesn't want this, Ben. The Japanese Mini Mega Drive Collector's Edition is going to come with 22 tiny cartridges. It's just silly. Like, it doesn't do anything. And then it comes with that plastic 32X thing, like the add-on kit. Like, okay. Nonsense. Nintendo has launched another official retail store in Israel for some reason.
Okay.
Who knows? EA has come out and said that Anthem is on a 7 to 10 year journey. Is it? Fuck.
No, it's not. They're just saying this.
There's no way that game is going to last 7 to 10 years. Maybe one. So, it might do one.
Oh. I've downloaded Dr. Mario World, right? And it's not too taxing to play while I'm on the show. I've been told that in order to play for any length of time, you need to pay £10. Yep. Is it kind of like Mario? Is it kind of like the Mario Run?
No. It's just got some sort of microtransaction like walls in it, where I think it's to do with energy. You have to buy energy, something like that.
But I don't play that. If this is a decent enough version of Dr. Mario, then that's fine. Like, I'm not going to sit and play it on my phone all day anyway.
No, I'm not sure. Like, I need to download it to see, but I haven't tried it yet. Tifa from Final Fantasy has joined the Dissidia roster.
Great.
It's that Final Fantasy fighting game. There's a free version out now.
Or it's £9 for the full version.
Yeah. There's a Spider-Man Far From Home VR experience that came out now, and it's free.
Great. Cool.
Yeah, does that intrigue you to get VR anymore? No. Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft wrote a joint letter to America, basically, about these proposed video game tariffs that might be coming in. And it's a load of nonsense, really. Like, they basically said, please don't tax us too much.
That's
Because, I mean, the big difference will be over there is that the prices might go up. That's it. But only if these tariffs go through against, I think it's against China and Japan. The Final Fantasy live-action TV series has been announced based around the MMO.
Which is good, but it's made by Sony. I don't have a lot of faith in Sony's movie department. They don't have a great track record of nailing it every time.
I mean, I believe it when I see it. Like, they've announced so many of these, like, TV show, video game TV shows. And
The Witcher's definitely coming.
Well, yeah, I mean, I believe in that one because it's Netflix. Like, outside of that, like,
Jink folk are just buying the licenses to stop other people making them.
There must be something like that. Like, Halo? Like, where's that Halo TV show that Microsoft announced, like,
at the launch of Xbox One, made by Steven Spielberg?
Yeah, like, where is that? Why is it not out yet? I mean, I don't think it's gone into production.
No.
So, yeah. Phil Harrison's come out and said, don't expect games to be any cheaper on Google Stadia than they are anywhere else.
Yeah, I've cancelled mine, but...
Yeah, I thought you might.
The reason is because I'm buying a house. I had it pre-ordered up till tonight, but also cancelled my Mini Mega Drive, right? Google Stadia, right? I'm not going to be able to... If we were still staying here... Brilliant, fine. Yeah, I've not got much worries. Do you know what I mean? Like, not that I've got much worries in this new house, but I'll need every penny to do up that house. I'm not actively working and doing work in this house, mostly because it's not ours. But
yeah, I mean, I think the other thing about like getting in your house is like I don't like your current house is I don't think your internet's going to be strong enough to do it.
But by the time it's out, I'll have the Virgin 500. So
yeah,
it will be. That is fast enough for anything really.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an interest in it because, like, if it was Netflix, then, okay, maybe I'd be interested. Like a Netflix-type subscription model, you just get access to everything. But it's not. You get access to whatever games they decide you can play, and then you have to buy the other games on top of that. And I'm not fucking paying, like, £40 for a streaming game. No way.
Just not. They are claiming, though, that even digital games from stores, they are claiming that even if that happens, you still own the rights to the game, which I don't know how that would happen if studios go bust.
Well, I mean, that's so fine and that's acceptable. However, like, I just assume that they would continue to host the game, like, provided people still owned it. But
they should be cheaper. Like, there's no need. They should be cheaper, 100%.
Yep,
if you can't physically, it should be cheaper.
I mean,
I'm still interested in it. I'm still really interested in it. I just can't justify it just now. Do you know what I mean?
I'm much more interested in Microsoft's one. Like, see, just allowing me to stream Xbox games to my phone, that's all I need. Like, I don't need any more than that. That's fine. Like, see if I can play a Xbox One game on my phone on the way home from work. Perfect. That's all I want to be able to do.
In your car? Oh, you get the train.
No, I get the train, so like I've got like half an hour commute on the train each way. So if I can sit with a controller hooked up to my phone and play a game for half an hour, perfect. That's all I want from it. If I can't do that, then yeah, that's
5G for good signal with that though. Which well, obviously maybe, get eventually, but
yeah, I mean I get 4G signal, like no bother.
4G is really not strong enough for streaming.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I can watch videos and stuff like that, no problem. Like, I can watch Netflix and things.
Yeah.
But I don't know, we'll see. That's what I want to be able to do. That's the only use case I have for that service. So, hopefully I can do that.
Mm-hmm. See, like, I thought it was cool because obviously I've got a Pixel for my work's phone. I'm still swaying on the Google Stadia, whether just to bang it on PayPal, but I've cancelled it for just now, but I've got like a month to decide because it's out in September. And where I'm moving to, that's like high speed internet. Like, so I won't have an issue at the stage it comes out, but they haven't focused any more on exclusive games yet, which is really annoying. It's like, yes, you said Diablo 3, brilliant, I do want that, but at the same time, what else am I getting? Because I ain't going to be buying games on it that I can get my PlayStation or Xbox.
Like, Baldur's Gate 3 isn't even exclusive on it.
Yeah, well, for me it is, because I'm not going to play it on the PC.
Well, like, see, I would only play it on PC.
That's where we differ, though. I don't like PC gaming.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's just because I played those games on PC like back in the day.
True.
Like, that's how I play it.
It's too much coming out in the Switch this year as well. It's not fair.
Yeah. All of the E3 critics gave the game of the show award to Final Fantasy VII Remake. Which is kind of, I think it's a bit unfair actually on some of the new games that came out, like, or that had good buzz at the show, like Cyberpunk and stuff like that. Like, those games all got really good buzz and stuff, and like Final Fantasy VII is just, yeah, it's Final Fantasy VII redone, cool.
I think it's because so many people are just happy with how it looks, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to play it, but like, I'm not like overly hyped for it. Like, I'll get it when it comes out at midnight, sure. And play it, but I'm much more interested in like
that's not
because I know the story.
That's not been confirmed yet as a PlayStation exclusive. Like, nowhere said that it's only on PlayStation, as far as I've seen.
Yeah, but it isn't available to buy on Xbox, and it is available to buy on PS4. So,
no, I know that, but there's nothing that says that it's only for PlayStation, because I would put that everywhere.
It may be a timed thing though, like No Man's Sky, and that was
Tomb Raider and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, like it'll come out a year later or so on Xbox. That's fine. Like, cause the majority of people would want to buy this on PlayStation anyway. Like, your Xbox is not gonna get anywhere near the amount of sales as PlayStation would.
I think it would do alright for Final Fantasy, but I mean, I would rather play my Xbox One X.
This will outsell Final Fantasy 15. Like, this will be the best selling Final Fantasy game of all time, guaranteed.
Do you think?
Yeah. Within its first month, it'll outsell all the other Final Fantasies. Guarantee it.
Okay.
All the Legend of Zelda amiibos got restocked. So if you're looking to buy any of the rare Wolf Links and all that sort of shit, then you can get them at actual proper price rather than like inflated like 40, 50 quid prices.
Yeah.
Not that you really need any of them, but if you want them, then they're there to go buy. Platinum Games has said that Astral Chain should be the first of a trilogy, depending on how well it does.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Like, I hope this game does well because it looks fun.
I like the look of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy it when it comes out.
Hopefully, it will. I don't think I'm gonna be that skint.
Yeah. Games with Gold got announced for July, so on Xbox One you get Inside for the full month and Big Crown for the second half of the month. Like, I don't know what that is. And on Xbox 360 you get Castlevania Symphony of the Night, which also plays on Xbox One, and Meet the Robinsons, which also plays on Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
Bandai Namco announced a new RPG for PC called Blue Protocol. Looks quite cool, but if it's PC only, then I'm not sitting playing a fucking 8-hour RPG on my PC. There's no way. Somebody has managed to make Super Mario Maker 2 inside Little Big Planet 3. Which is okay, fair enough.
Yeah, fine. Little Big Planet's still a thing.
Yeah.
You know the problem with that is Little Big Planet 3, I remember from when you seen it and it looked so much fun, but neither of us even bothered with it at all.
No, I mean, even when it came to Plus, like, I didn't even play it. I was put off by the reviews, I think, because it just didn't sound fun. It sounded boring, and I don't like to build shit. Like, that's not what I do in these type of games. Like, I'd just rather play a story mode, and Little Big Planet isn't really about that. Story mode's always like really naff. Nintendo have said that they've got no plans to censor games like Sony, as is evidenced by some of their collector's editions that come with pants. there is literally a collector's edition that comes with a pair of like girls' panties.
Yeah, is that not Daddy's Date Night or something?
No, it's not that one. Like Dream Daddy Simulator, whatever it's called, like that's kind of a different thing. Like, it's more these like Otome games that are all like scantily clad teenage Japanese girls, like all those type of games.
I love how Nintendo, that's meant to be family friendly, has came out and claimed we're not going to censor any games. It's like, what? Okay, Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Like, of the games that make it onto your console, some of them are pretty fucking risky.
Yeah,
and that's fine. There's an audience for that. Like, it's not me, it's Fred. Fred buys these games.
Yes, he does.
Some of them I'd probably like them, to be fair, but like they're always like really expensive, and like I'm not paying like 40 quid for some game that like just lets me like strip a woman off.
Yeah,
like what's the point of that? Like, especially like some teenage Japanese anime cartoon girl. Yeah. Like, no thank you. Nintendo's Quality of Life initiative is still alive, apparently, but it has no link to Pokemon Sleep, so that's like their, like, it's kind of the thing that they did with the Wii, and then they had it was like a heartbeat sensor and all that sort of stuff. Like, those things. But Pokemon Sleep is not related to it at all.
No.
I mean, Pokemon Sleep, what nonsense is that? EA Access is coming to PlayStation 4 on the 24th of July, so 2 weeks' time.
Have they confirmed if your accounts are going to be cross-platform? Or?
They have not.
I think it's going to be separate.
I mean, the games that they will have on this will need to be different from the games that they have on Xbox One, because if you look at the lineup on Xbox One, some of the older games are like Xbox 360 games.
Yeah,
not even that. Some of them are Xbox 360 games, and like they didn't come to PS4. Like Mass Effect is kind of the one where I'm like, how would they get this on to PS4? The only way to do it is through PlayStation Now. Yeah. But that would have to be like a joint venture with that, and I don't think EA has the clout with Sony to do that.
No.
At this point, so I don't see that happening. If it does, then I'm fucking playing Mass Effect Trilogy on PS4. Definitely. Yeah. But I don't think it will. I hope that it does carry over, though. Like, I would dabble in a couple of the games just to get trophies, but EA Access is like one of those things that I, even though it's very cheap, like 20 quid a year, I don't feel I've had my money's worth out of it in the last year.
No, at I don't all. Think so.
Like, when it came up for renewal, I was like, oh, I should cancel that, and then I forgot, and it came off, and I was like, well, I've paid it now, fuck it.
Yeah.
There's going to be something that that I'll try when it first comes out over the next year. Like the Star Wars game. Like, to get a few days jump on that would be nice before it comes out. But I'm going to buy that anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to get that game.
Level 5's come out and said that there is a third Ni No Kuni game in development at the moment, which I'm very excited for. Obviously,
I hope it's more like the first one.
Yeah, I hope it's more like the first one as well. And I think they'll have listened to the criticism of the second one and hopefully gone back to the fucking actual good storytelling of the first game.
But then that was maybe Shiro Ghibli that done the good storytelling, so they don't have an option.
No. I mean, Shiro Ghibli was involved in like the animation side of it. Like, I don't think they were involved in the actual story of it, though.
Were they not?
No, I don't think so. But when that game comes out, like, if you've not played it before, like, fucking play it. Like, it's amazing.
I'm going to get it in Switch at some point.
Yeah. Like, the Switch one is, like, just a port of the game, but the one on PS4 and Xbox One is, like, a remaster of the first game with better graphics and whatnot.
That's fine. I'll still want it.
But whenever you're going to buy it, like, 100%, like, check it out. I know you've played it before, Ali, but, like, for people that might not have played it before, like, this game is, it was the best game on PS3.
Yeah,
it was like it's above Last of Us. Yes, over Grand Theft Auto 5, over Last of Us, it was the best game on PS3.
Okay,
definitely. July's PlayStation Plus games got announced and came out and changed at the last minute. So you were supposed to be getting PES and Horizon Chase Turbo, but you ended up getting Detroit Become Human and Horizon Chase Turbo because they changed it the day before they were supposed to come out.
Yeah, I'm fine with that because I wanted to play Detroit Become Human. So
yeah, Detroit's really good. Like, I've got no problem with them changing it. I was just like, I've been playing PES on Xbox One on Game Pass, yeah, and I was like, Pass. Oh. Well, I was like, yeah, well, I can play it on PS4 instead. Pick up a few trophies. Cool, that's fine. Maybe play online, because like, I wouldn't bother playing it on Xbox online because I'm not good enough with the controller. But and I am on the PS4. But then they changed it like last minute. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just keep playing my Master League on the Xbox then. That's fine. It didn't really affect me. But yeah, Detroit is fine. Detroit's a really good game, actually. It's, for the majority of people, that's a good move. I've already played and completed it, though. And I don't know that I would, because I did download it, right? And the cool thing about it is it does come with Heavy Rain as well.
I've already got that in PlayStation 4, though.
Yeah. But not everyone has. And, like, Heavy Rain's a good game. Again, if you've not played it before, like, fucking, these are games that you have to play. Really good.
Jason. Press X to Jason.
Dead Rising 4 and Middle Earth Shadow of War are coming to Game Pass in July. Shadow of War, I think, is already out now. I don't know that I'd, because I already started playing Shadow of War on PlayStation, so I don't know that I'd necessarily start it over on Xbox, to be honest. I'd rather just keep playing it on PS4.
I haven't started it because I haven't finished the original one.
Yeah.
Which I do want to finish.
Bungie announced that you can do cross-save on Destiny 2 in September. So that's basically launching alongside Google Stadia. So you'll be able to do it across PC, Xbox One, PS4 and Stadia on Destiny 2. Cool. But you still have to buy the game 4 times.
Yeah.
Fuck that. I mean, if it was a cross-buy thing as well, then fair enough, but no way would I do that.
No.
Daemon X Machina got a special edition announced, and it comes with a statue of a mech thing, because of course it does. It looks pretty cool, to be fair.
Yeah, but again, it's one of those that I'm like, I can't justify £90 on a game that I think looks cool, but I don't know if I love that particular robot enough.
No, I mean, I think it's always really difficult to judge, like, buying a special edition or like, a new franchise game. Yeah. Like you don't know how much you're going to enjoy it. Like, you might fucking absolutely love it and be like, I need this. But you might just be like, yeah, that's all right. Or you might even not like it. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. What one I do want is a bike edition of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. It's too expensive.
It looks cool as hell.
The thing is, it's only a Play Arts Kai figure. Like on a
They're not expensive, to be fair. Yeah,
and I mean they're not. They've gotten a lot more expensive in recent years. Like, because I've got Cloud and Cloud from Final Fantasy VII, and I've got Ash from Final Fantasy XII.
Yeah.
Like Play Out Sky figures, and I bought them for maybe like £15, like maybe what 10, 12 years ago, and like they're still in the box. Like I've never took them out of the box, and I'm never going to. They sit on my shelf. I just have them, and. Like, a £200 for a Play Out Sky figure that's relatively similar to the one that I already have, except he's on a bike. No, thank you.
Yeah.
I'd rather buy, like, a cool statue of Cloud on a bike. And I don't even like the bike that much.
Yeah, they always make this big deal like, about the bike.
With the fucking bike. And it's only in it for, like, one sequence in the game.
Yeah, and that was a terrible, terrible sequence.
Yeah, and it was horrible to play. It looks more like it would probably be more fun in the new game.
Yeah, but, I'll give it that, but... Yeah.
But I'm not interested in buying the bike statue for £200. No, thank you. I'll just buy the normal game. And
I hope they've got the snowboard and arcade game in it.
Yeah, I mean, that'll not be in the first game, though. Because that didn't come into the golden saucer.
And the chocobo breeding.
Yeah, and I mean, again, that'll not be in the first game. None of
and
that. You'll not even see a chocobo. No, you'll not even see a chocobo.
I think you'll see one. I think you'll see one tied up. Definitely.
Oh no! Wait, sorry. There is a chocobo in the first in Midgar because there's two chocobos that take the cart to Don Corneo's house when Tifa gets kidnapped. Sorry, I'm just dying of coughing. Nintendo's actively investigating 5G technologies. Cool.
I had the 3G Vita. It was not fast enough to even connect to a website.
No.
Like that wasn't even on a nano SIM. That wasn't the original size SIM card that I got. It only worked on Vodafone. Like.
Yeah. I think it's just because they had like an exclusive contract for it back then.
Yeah.
But I mean, nobody... Like, that's unusable now at this point. Like, the 3G Vita. You can't use that.
No.
Because they wanted it to be like so you could play online games on the go, and like nobody fucking used it for that.
No.
So chart for last week came out, and number 10 was Mortal Kombat 11, number 9 Breath of the Wild, 8 Red Dead Redemption 2, 7 Assassin's Creed Odyssey, 6 Grand Theft Auto 5, 5 Smash Bros, 4 Mario Kart Deluxe, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, 3 F1 2019. 2 Crash Team Racing and 1 Super Mario Maker 2 did 2 weeks in a row at number 1. That like number 1
That's
2 3 has
it.
Been the same for the last 2 weeks. It's good for Mario Maker 2, yeah, and I'm not surprised. Like it looks like a good game. I didn't buy it yet, but at some point I'll pick up. It's just the building side of it like I'm not interested in. Like I'm quite cool with like I'm fine with playing other people's levels and fine with playing the story mode levels, but I have no interest in fucking making Mario levels at all. Whatsoever, which is the main point of this game. Switch Online service has surpassed 10 million subscribers somehow. Divide that by 4 and that's the number of people that are paying, pretty much. Because so many people, or in fact, divide it by 8, because so many people did that family share plan thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they could get it cheap. Like, I know at least, like, 10, 15 people that all jumped in on different family plans with other people and did it that way, so they got it for, like, a fiver. So, yeah, of course it's got fucking 10 million subscribers.
We were going to do it.
Yeah, we were going to do it, and we never ended up doing it. And I didn't even do the family plan, and I just bought the normal
It's just £20. I don't know whether I'm going to renew mine this year.
unless they bring SNES games to it, and like, I mean, how much have I played Switch online?
Not a lot since we stopped playing Splatoon.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've played some Rocket League, and like, to be fair, I mean, Bethany plays Fortnite, but I don't think you need the Switch online.
You don't.
No, you don't. No,
so. Not for if the game's free, you don't need to pay online for it.
Yeah, so, which is fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they should have made it paid, like, for
just
that.
Because they've got, it's like, do you not realise you get Fortnite, which is the game that everybody still plays?
Yeah, like, even in downtime between other games, like, people will still continue to play Fortnite, so.
I don't think there's enough value in it, so I don't think I'm going to renew it this year.
No, if SNES games come to it, then I'm 100% in for the next year. If they do not, then yeah, I might be out as well. Depends on what other online games come.
I mean, Tetris, they've had one actual game apart from the NES collection, which I've got very little interest in.
Oh, I've got zero interest in NES. Like, none whatsoever. No nostalgia for
Master
it.
Master System I would have, but...
Yeah, definitely, me too. Like, the games that I have, like, tried out of that, like, I've played them for maybe 5 minutes and went, this is old and shit. This is old and shit. This is old and shit. And
well, NES was older than Master System, so...
Yeah, this has had the exact same reaction for me from every game. And, like, I let Bethany play a couple of them, and she's like, Daddy, I don't like this.
Mario's fine. Mario's always fine.
Mario's alright, yeah, but, I mean, it was because it was kind of ahead of its time, but... Like, even comparing the Mario games to, like, the ones that came out on the SNES, and I've got the SNES Mini, so if I want to play the better versions of these games, I can play them on that. Like, there's no reason
all the
to play
versions
them
are far better.
Exactly.
I see the sort of remastered ones that I figured it was the first ones I played, they're better versions.
Definitely. They look way better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and there was a new Pokemon got announced for Pokemon Sword and Shield, and it's called Pokemon Alcremie or Alcremie.
And it
looks
cream.
It looks like a cake and it attacks with whipped cream. Like squirting whipped cream.
It's so stupid. I think they do it now to take the piss.
I think this looks so funny. I actually quite like the other Pokemon that they'd put out so far, but this one, it's like so ridiculous.
It's not as bad as the bin bag with boxing gloves, though.
It is not as bad as that, you're right, but wow. It's...
Well, they have done an ice cream cone before, and remember it evolved and it became a double cone.
Yeah, so here's the description of Alcremie, right? The Pokemon company's put out. So, the description of it is, the cream pouring out of its body hardens when subjected to impacts. The stronger the impact, the harder it becomes, giving Alcremie an impressive resistance to physical attacks. Additionally, the giant berry decorations on Alcremie's body are hard as diamonds, and it's said that most attacks won't even be able to leave a scratch. Alcremie will launch high-calorie cream missiles around itself to attack its opponents. Any Pokemon that touches this cream will be filled with energy and euphoria, but at the same time will fall into a state of complete confusion. Fairy-type moves used by Gigantamax Alcremie will change to G-Max Final, which will heal all Pokemon on Alcremie's side while dealing damage to an opponent. This is a fucking, like, sexual Pokemon. Like, oh my god.
Yep.
That is so full of innuendo, that description is ridiculous. And like, I used to play this game with my kid, fuck's sake.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just be laughing at it, and she'd be like, Daddy, why are you laughing? It's not funny. It's just ice cream. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, it's just ice cream. It's funny because ice cream is alive. Ha ha ha. That's why he's laughing.
That's why Daddy's laughing.
Yeah. But yeah, that's silly. Like, oh my god. It's kind of like, what's his name? There was the Pokemon that you could make it harden before. You pressed like B and you made it harden. What was it? Yeah, Kakuna. It was. Yeah, Kakuna.
Yeah, but that made sense because it was a pod. It was a
It was a pod, and then it like evolved into like a butterfly or a bee or whatever it was. But yeah, that is just it's a fucking hardened ice cream. Like, oh my god. But yeah, that's all the news.
Awesome. So let's move on to what we've been playing. So Andy, what have you?
I need to go and get a drink. So you tell me what you've played first.
Oh, right. Okay. So. I just did a nice lolly because it's absolutely roasting here. It's raining outside. Let me get my notes. So, I actually haven't played too much. I played Dragon Quest Builders. So if you haven't played it, it's like the best way to describe it is I don't know. Basically, they've done a cool thing with this. It is an RPG, and it's basically set after the first Dragon Quest game. If you took the bad ending, which I don't know because I've never played Dragon Quest 1, excuse me. So I'm assuming the bad guy wins because the world's kind of been destroyed. And your job is, like, you're a builder for some reason, but you can't remember who you are. And I'm going to guess you were the villain or you were the hero that sided with the villain because it keeps saying, remember, you're not a hero. You get building plans, which is cool. You can put them down on the floor and, like, build the outline of, like imagine blueprints for, like, a kitchen. So, like, it's, like, place the cooker in these squares. Because for me, when I've got too much freedom in these games, I've no idea how to make things look cool. Like, just no clue. Not good at it at all. So when this has this sort of idea that you can place these on the floor and top to make the rooms, I much prefer that. You back? Yeah. So it's probably Minecraft with a point, like, is the way to describe Dragon Quest Builders.
Okay.
There's a demo out of it. No, I mean Minecraft with a point because, like, I'm like you. I don't like creating things. I just want to play things. And this is, like, you've got the whole freedom. You can do all that, right? But the main story, it is just, like, right, you need to rebuild this because the world's been destroyed. So you might have to go and recruit, like, say, a chef if you want to learn new recipes. But it's not in-depth. You know how, like, Minecraft, to build anything, you need to know, like, basic engineering skills more or less these days. It's like, it tells you, it's like, oh, you're going to want better weapons, so you better go and get the blacksmith. I think he's over there. And basically you're building this, like, sort of castle village style thing. And every so often you'll get hordes of enemies once you get to a new level that you have to defend against. So sometimes it'll say, like, you need to build spikes around this wall. And I'm like, okay, cool, I'm going to do that, yeah. And where do I put them? Here's the blueprints. So you can do it off your own back, but see, for me, I just put the blueprints on the floor and build, like, it says place spike here, place, like, wrench here, place bricks here. I'm like, I built that, it looks cool, and I feel happier because I'm not having a blank canvas and building a house and making cool stuff. Once I've done the house and punched a sheep to death in Minecraft, I'm basically done. But in this, it looks nicer as well. It's like what I would imagine a Minecraft 2 should do, if you know what I mean. Now, I know Dragon Quest Builders 2 is out, like, this week. I think it's out Friday, but I've only just got this one, so I'm in no rush to, like, get Dragon Quest Builders. I would, from the reviews that I've read on this, because I've researched a lot, because I've not played much of Dragon Quest, never finished a Dragon Quest, I'm actually, this has given me an interest in Quest games, and I actually bought Dragon Quest 8 off the back of this, which was a cool one I had in the PlayStation that I really didn't enjoy. But it's kind of like a remaster in 3DS, so I picked that up because I'm right in the mood to play it, but I'll probably get 11 before I get around to it on the Switch. So basically after, like, so many boss waves, they might drop something like a blue portal, and the blue portal take you to other places. I think you're trying to connect lands as well because there's bits of bridges, and I can't build a bridge at the moment. I don't know how to. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm just focusing. It's kind of like, do you remember My Sims and the Wii? Where you had a village and you had to kind of keep them happy and you had to, what do you want? It's like, oh, I want a cat. So you had to go and find out how to get a cat.
Find a cat, yeah.
That's, obviously there's nothing like that in this, but it's kind of like, I'm the only woman here, so I'd be happy with go and get, like, a woman's sign and give a bed that has to be separate from the male room. But it's teaching you all this stuff, though, I'm guessing, so that the stupid thing is, once I built it, she never ever sleeps in there. Like, so I just use it as my room, do you know what I mean? So, like, it's cool the way it kind of holds your hand. I know there's probably laughing at me and going, well, I just do Minecraft. See, for me, because it's got a story and it feels like there's a point, there comes a certain point to me in Minecraft where I'm like, I don't know what to do next. Like, there's nothing here for it. And I know they brought out a story mode, quote-unquote, but it's just basically a completely separate Telltale game. What they should have done is incorporated that into Minecraft, do you know what I mean? So that you can go in the campaign mode, and they should have gave you more freedom and like actually allowed you to build more rather than just it being literally a Telltale game. However, this game, even if you've never played Dragon Quest, I think you could easily get into it because the characters are all cool. They've got those slimes and stuff. So it just starts with like learn to light up a room, like that sort of stuff. Like learn how to punch stuff to get blocks. It does function very much like Minecraft, but it looks nicer. And like I said, there's a story. So I would highly recommend this. Like, I would imagine it's going to go in sales every now and then. I would buy it on Switch, personally, just for the portability, because it's not a high-intensive graphics game, and it looks pretty sweet on the big screen. It looks fine portable. And yeah, I would recommend it to you. I recommend it to Fraser. I'd guys about it. And the demo kind of feeds you just enough, and it's like, now you need to go and get a hammer. It's like, you can't get from the demo. It's like, ah. So it's really frustrating. The other frustrating thing is, even though they said you can't transfer progress from the demo to the main game, so you literally have to play that section over again. So what I would advise is download the demo, just an idea for the game, and if you enjoy it, download it, but don't finish the demo, because I saw it like 2 hours into the demo, like, make my town look all cool. The one thing that I like that I don't know if you can do in Minecraft is, like, see, once I've built my castle basically just out of grass and earth, because that's obviously the first materials you get.
Yeah.
Once you get stone, you can craft, like, stone cladding. So see, instead of having to replace every block by punching them away and putting down a stone block, you can just, like, select the area and just say, I want to stone clad that, and it will just turn the earth into stone. So it's quite awesome that way.
Don't think you can do that in Minecraft. I could be wrong.
I'm not sure you can, because as far as I remember, like, and you get stones, you have to just do it block by block and replace them all. Whereas in this, you can literally just do it the whole way. So I'm really enjoying my, even though it's kind of holding your hand along the way from the way you build it. Like, here's how to build like a forge. You need like a campfire in the corner. You need this, you need this. I just place it down because obviously it's in squares on the floor. You place the blueprint down and then you just go, okay, this block goes here. Okay, I'll craft a furnace that goes here. Okay, here's my melting pot. Boom, and then it goes, I created a fortress. And it's like, I've got 2 floors in my castle now as well. Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Nice.
So I played another game. It was actually on Game Pass, called Tacoma.
Okay, yeah. It's a Fulbright one.
Yeah. Maybe if this was in VR, it'd be good. I couldn't see anything about it ever being in VR. So.
No, I don't think it was.
And when you're on this spaceship, you get to relive the AR crew interactions, which is just a cop-out of having to do any decent graphics outside of the actual ship itself. It feels very dull to play. Like, if I have to read, like, stuff in a game to get the story, you should at least make it interesting. It's dull as fuck. You're listening to the crew. I get it's a slow-burn game, but I don't want to have to read the crew's logs to, like, get the story. Like, you see them all happy, and you're like, what's going on here? And then they're panicking the next minute. It's like, read this on this monitor, read this on this monitor, read this on that. Hold on, Jesus, get down now. 3, 2.
Yeah, I don't like it when games do that. Like,
sorry.
I'd rather the bulk of the story was told in cutscenes and dialogue.
So, I probably maybe an hour off. And I went, do you know what? I don't fucking care what happened to this spaceship. This is taking too long. Like, it's not exciting. And I might have just been round the corner of, edge of your seat excitement. But I'm like, this sort of game, like a kind of like, not even an indie game, but it's kind of indie, kind of, it's not a AAA game by any means, should grab you straight away with some cool gameplay element. It just doesn't have it. It's basically a walking simulator. And I don't often call games that because I like some games that are walking simulators. Like, this is just, it's just so dull. I'm like, I'm not playing this. I could see the point if it was in VR because it's kind of future techy AR stuff, but it's not. So it's like, this isn't even fun. So, no, deleted it. And I played a bit of Dragon Quest VIII. Very grindy because it's an older RPG.
Yeah.
Very grindy. We'll see. I might go back to it and report back next week whether I'm just going to leave it and wait for Dragon Quest XI, because there was a point where RPGs stopped the need for being so grindy. The one advantage this has over like Final Fantasy VII stuff is there's no random encounters. You can see the enemies in the field, but you get to certain places and you just know that monster's beaten me quite
badly. I've only just scraped past this fight, so I need to go back slightly to an area I've been to and just grind and grind and grind and grind. And, you know, each area, this is a PS2, like, early days game. It did get high praise at the time, but I don't want to have to continually fight the same fucking looking monster, like, at least vary them if I'm going to have to grind. But again, this is from, what, 20 years ago, maybe 10 years ago at least. So, decent enough. Fun. I want to get into Dragon Quest after playing Dragon Quest Builders, right? And I know I'm getting 11. So, the other game I haven't talked about since we've been off the air for so long is Judgment, or Jugment, as you correctly pronounce it. That bugged Andy this week.
Jugment.
It is Judgment, right? So, basically, in this, you play as a disgraced lawyer who becomes a private detective. Very much Yakuza. But it takes everything good about Yakuza, and I think the fighting's better in this game. So you've got your RPG ways to update stuff, but it's got like detective elements that remind me of Batman Arkham Origins slightly. So you have to like investigate crime scenes, like piece together evidence, you know, find three of the right pieces of evidence to continue your case. It's still the same city as Yakuza and all that. So like you will be getting attacked by thugs and gangs, but you're not directly working for the Yakuza. So it feels like a wholly different game. Do you know what I mean? Because they are, while they are there and they are a presence in the game, you're trying to like solve this murder, or like each one's a case. So like the first one was a case you were trying to get a guy off of murder when he wasn't there, and vice versa. And I haven't played this game for a while because I just haven't played any games, but it's absolutely fantastic. Like, I do not regret this purchase whatsoever. It just reminds me simply that every time I look at Shenmue and go, do you know what, I'm going to actually finish you, it's not worth it, because Yakuza came out after and it's kind of like a spiritual successor series.
Yeah,
and it is better. Like, it's got everything Shenmue has, but better. Like, the fighting, better. Quick time events, better. Like, and the arcades with the actual game, this one's got the entire Virtua Fighter 5 in-game, like, in the arcades. Yeah, and I love, like, the side quest, you can make friends in the town, like, one of them's just a shopkeeper, and he becomes your friend if you buy stuff, and I'm like, that's not really a friend, like, I'm just buying his friendship here. But yeah, I love...
You get that kind of relationship, though, with regular customers.
Yeah, true. But all I literally have to do is go and buy 5 packs of these noodles. So, like, there is product placement in these games, and I don't mind them. I think it just gives it that wee touch of authenticity.
It's like Crazy Taxi. Like, you didn't mind the product placement there at all.
Nah. Like, this, I can go in and you can buy a drink, like sake and stuff, but there's Jack Daniels. And I'm like, I'm fine with Jack Daniels product placement. Like, Crazy Taxi, I hate the versions where you can't go to Pizza Hut. Like, it's so annoying. Yeah, so the thing about the Yakuza games is, like, they're sometimes tongue-in-cheek, and there's some parts that are really fucking batshit crazy. Like, just doesn't fit with the rest of the story, as you know as well. And, like, in this so far, I've not came across anything like that, but I'm pretty sure there are going to be some things in here, but they're not as obvious as they are in Yakuza. Like, look, you can now do this, and it's a dance-off battle, and it's like, what? This is a pretty hefty, like, Yakuza crime-style game. I do want to go back and play Yakuza 0, but I'll need to pick it up again once it's in sale, because these games constantly go in sale. I got Kiwami off of PlayStation Plus, but obviously I want to start with 0. I do want to finish Judgment first, and the good thing is it's not really set and tied into any of the other Yakuza games. It's not spoilery if you wanted to use this one as your jumping on point. The reason it's good for me is I know Yakuza 0 was fun enough to play that I will go back and play it. So it's not like playing this one will put me off the rest of the series, because I know it's a continuing story, because Yakuza 0 was more recent than Yakuza 1. Obviously it came out and told you the backstory, but everyone says to start with Yakuza 0, then go on to Kiwami 1 and Kiwami 2, which is basically Remake 1 and Remake 2, and then from what I've heard, 3, 4, 5 are coming to PlayStation 4 over here, because they get re-released, not more like a Devil May Cry collection than anything, because 6 sold so well here compared to the rest of them. So I do want to play through all these games. It's just they are like 30 hour games like Shenmue was, and they are quite an investment, even though it's not particularly challenging all the time. Really enjoying the story, though. There is kind of like just things and pull the right evidence to prove your point and stuff like that. And I do enjoy going to the crime scenes to take photos, because at every crime scene you hear a meow. And I spend most of my time looking to see where that cat is, because you take a photo of the cat and you get some XP, and I'm guaranteeing you there's a trophy of take photos of all the cats, or take so many. So, like, when you enter this sort of like crime scene, it's kind of like Batman, so it closes off that kind of area, you know, so you're kind of in this sort of square or whatever shape it is, and you have to try and take the photo, you know, to get the evidence of like the couple sneaking into the building or like the damage or the dead body on the floor or whatever. But when you hear the meow, the first thing is like, where's this cat? So everyone, I'm looking for a cat, and it always says, oh, a cat. I just love that. But yeah, that's all I really played. But I'm going to stick some more time into Judgment this week now that everything's kind of settled and it's just a waiting game now with the whatchamacallit, the lawyers.
Nice.
Cool. So what did you play, Andy?
Played a few things. So first off, on PC, right? So Xbox Game Pass on PC is now out, and we spoke about it like at E3. And I downloaded it, and it took me a little while to get this actually running on my PC, because I had to update Windows to get it to work. It's always the fucking kerfuffle with playing PC games. There's always some thing you have to do to make things work. So this one was, I had to update Windows in order to get Game Pass beta to work on my PC. And even then, like, the app was broken as fuck up until about maybe 10 days ago. And then the app got an update and it fixed all the issues. So like, there was a big issue with it when anytime you would search for anything, it would just give you an error. Anytime you would click on pretty much any link in the store, apart from on a specific game on the home page, it would give you an error page every time. So like, you couldn't go and browse the games, you couldn't look at the store, the Game Pass titles or anything. It would just give you errors all the time. Mm. So like, I was only able to look, I couldn't like search for what games were on it. I could only on the homepage, right, there's this thing where it's basically like a choose me a random game. So that's the only way where I could look at the different games that were on it outside of what was featured on the homepage at any one time, which was really annoying. But they've now updated it and you can now look for like any games, and it actually functions really well now. But I did download a few games on it. So I downloaded Football Manager 2019, Ali. And I put a good few hours into that. And yeah, it's just more Football Manager. I don't really want to talk about the game particularly. Although I did spend money in the game. Because there's an editor that you can buy for it. That's like, I think it was like £3. And it basically allows you to edit the teams and give yourself like unlimited money and stuff like that. So I did that. I gave Kilmarnock like £1 billion. And still, like, try to sign players, even though you've got shitloads of money. It's like, I don't want to come to your team. I'm not interested in playing for this team. Because you're in like a lower class league and like you're not that good a team. It's still hard to get players. But yeah, that's been quite enjoyable, but it's such a time sink, those games. Like I remember putting like 50 hours into it on Switch. I'm like, yeah. I spent like a couple of days where I just played that and did nothing else. I'm like, yeah, I need to not play this very much. So like, I've just been dabbling in it here and there. But there was also a game called Into the Breach that I played, which is kind of like a strategy battle type game, and it's okay. It's supposed to be like, there's some sort of time travel element involved in it, but like, I didn't really like the gameplay all that much, because you've only got like three different units, certainly at the beginning anyway, that you can deploy, and you get them to attack these insect things that are attacking, giant insects that are attacking buildings. And it's in a kind of like 2.5D grid-based combat, and it's all right, but like, it's not something that really held my attention particularly much. It's probably not one I'll go back to be honest. But yeah, on PlayStation, I played a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I did try Horizon Chase Turbo, which came to PlayStation Plus.
Oh, kind of like everything.
Yeah, so I tried that, and I did not like that at all. Like, those type of games have had their place in time, and they're gone. Like, I mean, this game doesn't even feel as advanced as, like, Virtua Racing did back in the day. So, yeah, I think instead of, like, playing this, just get Virtua Racing on Twitch instead and play that, because that's supposed to be much better.
Yeah, it looks awesome, actually.
It's
got more play.
On Switch is supposed to be brilliant. Like, I definitely want to pick that up. But like,
it looks nice.
Bethany's got the Switch away with her, so I haven't got to play Switch at all recently.
Where's Bethany away to? holidays.
It's just, yeah, she's been on holiday, like, down south, mum and dad, so they're just away to a few different places. But yeah, so I haven't had access to Switch. So I tried that Horizon Chasing. It's not good. I wouldn't even bother wasting your time on download. And then finally, I finished off Mass Effect Andromeda. Finally.
Yay, Andy finished an RPG.
I finished a game, and I finished an RPG. I finished a couple of games this year, but like, this is definitely the one that I've put the most time into. And yeah, I really liked it. It definitely, like, I could see through the game side of it. Like, by the time I got to the end, there was a lot of, like, repeated dialogue when I went and spoke to people. Like, mm-hmm. A lot of repeated dialogue. Like, but I did manage to get... I did manage to get a bang scene alley.
Right.
Yeah, banged some blue alien chick. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And she's now in love with me.
It's like, oh.
And, cool. and I did the final mission and saved the world. Like, okay. And it's weird though, because like, it teased a couple of things, like in the sort of end and the epilogue for like the next game. There's just no next game.
Like, yeah, but I think it's based in the sales. I think they're planning and like, they've done story DLC for every. And it was kind of announced for this, as far as I remember, and then it just, okay, this isn't sold well or reviewed well. Let's just can it. So like I've said several times, their next move is a remaster of the trilogy to get the fans' trust back before they do like a direct sequel to those three.
Yeah, I think that's the only way they can do it. Or like, I mean, I don't know if they do a prequel, but they need to do a remastered trilogy first and then do something else. But the but I really like the game overall. Like, I don't see why people had a big problem with this. Like, the lip syncing is pretty shit, but like, as long as you don't look at the lips when the characters are saying the words, it's fine. 99% of the characters are like voiced really well, and like, the dialogue is mostly pretty good as well. So like, the story's decent enough, and I really liked all the different worlds that you got to go to. They were all nice and varied, and it was fun just like driving around them and going and finding different things and jumping out and killing these bad guys. I came across a couple of things that I couldn't kill, actually, that were like too tough to kill. These big fucking like mech things. I couldn't beat them. It was like, it's like a giant sort of like
game style stuff, almost.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. And maybe I just needed to level up a bit more, or like get different guns or something. But I couldn't beat them. Like, I tried it a couple of times, and I'm like, nah, this is just a side mission. I'm gonna move on.
Yeah.
But yeah, really, really liked overall. And like, after I beat the game, I actually did kind of dick around in it for another couple hours, just like doing a couple of missions that I had outstanding.
Nice.
So yeah, really good. I think that now that I've done the majority of the sort of content in the game, like the main content, a lot of the side story missions are probably like things that I won't really go back to, but I might stick it on from time to time and like just jump back into that world and knock out a couple of bits and pieces. But it's not something that I'm like, I'm not going to try and get platinum in it or anything like that, because you have to play the multiplayer to do that, and I have zero interest in playing the multiplayer Mass Effect Andromeda like 2 years after
Mass Effect. Mass Effect should have never ever had multiplayer. It's an RPG. Multiplayer RPGs are called MMOs, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't need it, and it's like stupid like PvP multiplayer stuff, so it's like, oh, play this Apex or whatever it's called. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, oh, if you don't want to do it, you can send a straight team to do it. Which is just like an automated thing that just happens in the background and takes like an arbitrary amount of time. It's like, oh, come back in 8 hours. Like, okay. And then I would come back to it like 15, 20 hours later in the game and like, oh, they've completed their mission. Okay, cool. Send them on another mission. Okay. But like, that's not something that I didn't really get invested in that mechanic whatsoever, because you never really found out anything about the strike team that you sent. They didn't have any names or anything, so. But I liked the kind of main cast of characters that you had with you on the ship, apart from there was a Scottish character, like, I don't know if you remember.
The girl.
The Scottish girl, she's terrible. She's got a terrible accent, all the dialogue Scottish is absolute garbage. Generally are. No, but this one was so bad. Like, she's also the worst animated character in the whole game. Yeah. Like, she just doesn't look like a person. Her eyes are completely dead inside, it's horrible. Like, but yeah, I really like the game overall. I think the only main criticism that I could probably level at it is when you're playing, like, because I played as a girl character, and like, when you're playing as her and she's not in her like space suit, she runs weird. Like, she's got, a weird hips for some reason, and she runs really strangely. She just, it doesn't look right. It doesn't look like the way a person would run. But, like, other than that, like, I have no criticisms of the graphics or anything. Like, most of them are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, really like the game overall. And now I can move on to something else. You told me to play Yakuza.
I did.
Which I might do, like, because I'm really tempted to get Judgment, to be honest.
Judgment's good.
But I don't know if I should just go back and play Yakuza instead of buying that and wait for that, like, to get cheaper down the line.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. Judgment's a whole different kettle of fish. It's like Yakuza with all these... It is a spin-off, but it could easily just be its own... It's strong enough to be its own standalone series. It doesn't feel like it's just a silly spin-off.
But they could have also just called it Yakuza Judgment.
They could have, but they obviously wanted to start their own franchise, but it's based around the Yakuza world, but it's not like tied specifically into any plot points, so that's good for me. It's a perfect jumping on point for newcomers, so I think that's why they've done it, instead of bringing Yakuza 7 or whatever the new one's called that's been out in Japan for about a year.
Yeah. But I think I might do that next, or I might play something else.
Yeah.
Not sure. But yeah, Mass Effect, really good. Finally finished.
I just wish you'd ever played the trilogy. Yeah, I just wish you got to play the trilogy. I hope you're a remaster mostly so you can get it, because the story in that is fucking so good, man. The fact that your choices went through the whole game's so good.
I mean, I can go, I can play it on Xbox through Battle Compatibility, through EA Access if I want to.
Yeah.
But I've just been kind of holding off for the for a remaster, and I don't know.
How long do you hold off for it at this point, though? That's the only thing.
For
something
that
might never happen.
I know the second I finish Mass Effect 1,
they'll announce it.
Then they'll announce it, and I'll be like, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
But I don't know. How long is Mass Effect 1? Because I've heard that's the shittest one.
It can be finished pretty quickly. They're not 80 to 100-hour RPGs unless you make them that way. From what I remember, I finished it in 20 hours.
Right. So, Andromeda took me about 50... 55 maybe to beat.
Right, let's just see. 17 hours for the main story, 29 hours for the main story and extras, so...
Okay, well so that's probably 30 then for me.
Yeah, 30 hours if you do side quests and stuff, yeah.
Okay, I could probably do that.
Yeah, I would say so, it's a story and get the stuff to transfer onto Mass Effect 2, do you know what I mean?
Hmm.
To finish the entire game, the entire trilogy, on this, how long to beat? Because that aggregate store, so it's between 74 hours and 107 hours for the three of them, which isn't a lot compared to most. That's a standard RPG length, 74 to 107. I would just give it a crack, because then it will save you money instead of dropping 60 quid on a remastered trilogy that might come out and get slated because it's not as good as the original games were. Once you got into Mass Effect 2, it's fine. It's just Mass Effect 1 still get some dated mechanics in it and some frustrations. But see, at this stage, if you get stuck at something, you wonder why. YouTubing a game guide for Mass Effect 1 just to get you through that game is not going to be frowned upon. Do you know what I mean?
I might just chuck it on easy.
Fire it on easy,
fire through it,
Mass Effect 2, it says 24 and a half hours to 35 hours, so that's not that bad either. So I'm going to guess Mass Effect 3 is the shortest, or is it? So 24 hours again, so they're not long games if you're not fucking around. Maybe 35 hours, which can be done in a good solid week, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's not some RPGs like Final Fantasy, you could have that for 2 years to finish it.
Or more. It took me 2 years to finish Mass Effect Andromeda, to be fair.
I'm not meaning... Yeah, but you spent more time in it because you were polishing up a lot. But I would say a good 30 hours per game. Maybe slightly less for Mass Effect 1.
Yeah.
It's up to you. They're free just now. And Mass Effect 2 doesn't look that bad. And they updated it so it was more action RPG style like Mass Effect Andromeda is.
It would at least justify my fucking EA Access subscription.
This is true. And they are quality games, you will stores. My name is Commander Shepherd, and I endorse this store.
What I'll do is I'll wait until the PlayStation version comes out on Access.
And see if it's on that,
And see if it's on that through now or something. If it's not, then I'll play it on Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. I did contemplate booting it straight up as soon as I finished Andromeda, and I was like, I'll wait like a few weeks anyway and see.
Even though I slate Mass Effect, one of the that I've finished the most, like I've completed that game at least 6 times. I mean, completed because I've done different playthroughs. There is ways of making it easier for yourself because obviously certain conversation lines, there's a glitch at one part that if you keep repeating the conversation, you can like max out your good and bad like negotiating skills and stuff. So that sort of thing, just to get you through Mass Effect 1, will be fine. And then you can just enjoy Mass Effect 2 and 3. That's what I would recommend doing at this stage. Just get the story and make your choices so they carry over, and then just forget about it and dig into 2 and 3. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, 3 is not even that old. It just came out 2012, you know? It's not an old game.
Just because it's last gen. Last gen
will upscale it slightly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't play anything else. That's me for this week.
Cool, man. So, again, apologies for being MIA. But I have kind of explained ourselves on our Twitter to our fans. We'll be back next week with some more of the same. My internet connection held out this week somehow.
Just about, yeah.
Just about. It did drop a couple of times, and it dropped pre-show. But yes, stay tuned to allgames.com for the B team in an hour's time, where you can get more of this, but with American sounding voices, with Chip Sella and the rest of the guys. And yes, myself and Andy will be back next week, all going well with this internet here. But yeah, thank you for listening or downloading if you have so, and peace. We'll see you next week. Bye now.
It's all too beautiful. It's all